Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk to you a little bit about demonology. Demons, super demons, powerful demons, demons that roam the earth seeking the souls of men to enslave, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, devils in the Bible are now called demons. The word demon is not in the Bible, but devils are. And ladies and gentlemen, they are real. They can possess. They can oppress. And they can wreak havoc in your little world. I'm telling you, these entities are very powerful. Now, the constant and consistent characteristic is that they always possess human bodies. They work in humans. They can and are noted to work in animals. You know, Christ cast enough of the demonic demons into the swine, about 3,000 head, that were feeding on the hills, and he commanded them to go into the swine. And the Bible says, immediately, the swine ran down the hill into the lake, and it choked them, and they drowned, and so the demons escaped. Listen to what Leviticus 17:7 says, and they shall no more offer their sacrifice unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statue forever unto them throughout their generations. And we're going to get into some interesting aspects of who controls these demons and who gives them power and what their objective is upon the earth. We're going to talk about that. And so you call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We got a lot of information from a biblical perspective about demons from the deep. So, call a friend and tell them. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have for me in spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahweh, your eternal one, or Elohim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this being the 17th day of October, we would like to present to you a live demonstration of scriptures that the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards that go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people, saith the Eternal One, Yahweh. Very, very serious business here, ladies and gentlemen. And did you know that familiar spirits are the most active in churches? Not out on some ritual coven of demons that practice demonology. These people are so pathetically sick in mind and body that they don't know which ends up. basically. But the greatest power of deception for Satan is to transform himself from the wolf in sheep's clothing to a saint or an angel or a transfigured angel of righteousness. That's the one that has premier spirits. They're always hunting for what the crowd wants. They're always trying to get a drip of the spirit of the people. And they work actively in churches with spiritual leaders being the main target of these demons as they possess the souls of men to deceive the very elect, if possible. A man or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard, they shall surely put to death and stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Listen to that now. A man or a woman that has a familiar spirit. What is a familiar spirit again? Oh, they're always trying to familiarize themselves with your situation so that they can forecast something to you and will it into your belief system, and you will, by believing what they say, will make this possibly come to pass. There is exceptions, but as a rule, the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so he is. So if they can get you to thinking that they've got the power to know about your future, remember, they already control your presence. They'll familiarize themselves with your situation. Now, we have had actually ministers caught with earphones, hidden microphones, in their ear, getting instructions off of a prayer card or something of that nature to demonstrate their power, and people go ape over it. How could that pastor have known this? How could that evangelist know this? How could that minister or that prophet know this? And 99% of it is the familiarizing of their spirit to yours and to actually tell you what you want to hear. Fortune tellers are really scarce compared to wizards of churchianity. I'm going to repeat that. Those that have familiar spirits or are a wizard, fortune teller, we call them, they are more scarce. It's easier to find a prophet that is a wizard than it is to find a witch that can familiarize herself with your situation. Because there are churches on every corner. You'll drive for a long time before you can see somebody with a sign up that says, fortune told here. And when you do, they're usually busy. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's a woman. A busybody and familiar spirit type person. And you'll tell them all that you want to know when you go into the table. They will question you. They will find out about you. And then they will fake. A lot of times these things come to pass through the power of suggestion. That's where that the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. So if they cut your defenses down and you become susceptible to the familiar spirits or the wizard, and you turn after such that have these, you will be cut off very soon, because your spiritual future will become more cloudy, more obscure than it ever was, because you will become a habitual wanderer of the familiar spirits and the wizards, always wanting to know, have your fortune told. Ladies and gentlemen, your fortune, and that's where the word God comes. It comes from fortune tellers, God. Spell it backwards, you've got dog in Hebrew. No wonder they put in these words to familiarize themselves into your situation. No wonder they call adults adulterers. No wonder they call children, kids, as a goat. No wonder they do all these things, and they do them all purposely, as they would call a infant baby, and that's the first four letters of Babylon, seven letters in Babylon, B-A-B-Y-L-O-N, Babylon. So the structure of those who are coming into the world as babies are associated immediately with Babylon. Then when they become adolescents or thereabout, after they grow up out of the baby stage, they become what is known as kids. And like I say, kid is a baby goat. And then when they get up to adult stage, they call them adults, which is the prime word for adulterers. And by that time, if you've fallen for all these crafty words of the wizards, wizards of a pulpit, not wizards at the palm ball reading wizards of demonology. These are just familiar spirits that they're trying to make a living. That's all these preachers are trying to do. And they're more crafty. They come in the name of Christ, the anointing. They have an anointing, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that not to marvel, for Satan himself, along with his ministers. Now, who are these ministers? Where are they at? What could be applied to them? Wizards, familiar spirits, soothsayers, Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods they came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. They brought new gods in for Israel, the new generation to fear. Gods that their fathers did not fear. The word God here being a misnomer, because God, like I say, is El or Elohim. El singular, Elohim plural. So in this case, devils are Elohim, fallen. Now they're seeking whom they may devour, for the mission of the satanic forces that are upon the earth vying for the soul of mortal man. To kill you, steal you, and destroy you. That's the appointed mission. And if you go after these charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, Judges chapter 9:23. Notice this strange verse. Then the Eternal One sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now the proper word was, is that Elohim sent an evil spirit, or in spirit he sent evil. In spirit he sent evil among them. Now is the Father capable with power of sending an evil spirit among these churches that have already believed the lie? Did you know that the greatest deceiver on the planet or throughout the universe is Yahweh himself? Therefore, Yahweh himself shall send them a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned who hold not the truth in righteousness. Remember, Satan is a transformed angel of righteousness. He preaches the seen-eye way. He preaches the ear-tickling way. He preaches the way that people want to hear it. And the familiar spirits in there are always checking the pulse of their congregation and feeding them exactly what they want to hear, which is nothing. To hear something brings fear. To hear something of the truth brings obedience. And the Bible says it is a doer that is justified, not a hearer. We've got people that Sunday after Sunday listen to the same old familiar spirits, the wizards and the charmers of the pulpits. You say, Pastor Buddy, I thought this was going to be a message about these witches and warlocks and all these people out here making a living. Now, I don't go to them, glory to God, but we flock heavily to the pulpit where Satan transforms his ministers into ministers of righteousness in a seem-right way, and an ear-tickling music. One of the greatest tools of deception is vibrational sound of music. Pleasure music. Songs of rapture. Oh, we're going to go away. Oh, we're going to go away. Hi, old the cherry. Oh, we're going to go away. Something of that nature. Rapture theorist. Teaching their flock not the obedience of command, to fear Yahweh and to suffer with Him, to reign with Him. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll tickle your ears, give you some sugar-coated information that we've hatched up out of the 23rd chapter of our imagination, and then you all just rock a bye Billy. And that's basically what they are, goats. Rocking the Billy goats. Bah, I know it says that, but I just don't want to get into that. It gives me a headache, Pastor Buddy. I don't know where my wife would have it or not, Pastor Buddy. I don't know where my church would have it or not, Pastor Buddy. And they go on and on and on because the Spirit of Yahweh has departed. Ichabod. From among them. And the Spirit of an evil contending spirit that's dealing treacherously with those who come to hear the wizards, the familiar spirits, and the necromancers as they make love to you in the luring of the flesh, Baal cultish sex goddesses, male and female prostitutes, prostituting themselves out to other gods. They can't see, hear, smell, taste, or feel, and bowing down to such, when we have the eternal Redeemer with the truth, because God is a spirit, John 4:24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, and the truth is far from them because they'd rather hear a familiar spirit, a wizard, or a necromancer making love to them in the lust and the lure of the flesh. Oh, they look so good. Although that sister that got up and sang, what a beautiful angel she is. Marvel not. Satan has got more angels looking good than Yahweh has got more people looking bad. The way that seems right has grown up to such an extent that the mind of the Western sheep of the house of Israel have got so far from the disciplines of our forefathers that we wouldn't know truth if it hit us across the head with a two before. And sometimes I feel like that's the only way to preach the gospel, with a two before. But the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit replaced it from Yahweh, and it troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God is troubling you. Man, they knew something, didn't they? Behold, an evil spirit from God is troubling you. An evil spirit from the eternal El was troubling the mind that had the spirit that departed from Saul because he obeyed not the command and for the blading of the sheep. Saul wanting to add him to his prized herd, felt it unnecessary to kill the enemy's sheep and accept nothing but their gold and silver of just weights and balances into the assembly. Everything else was to be burned with fire and killed. Let now, Saul, command thy servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is cunning, a player on a harp. And it will come to pass that when the evil spirit from hell is upon you, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And remember I told you about vibrational music? Ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most important things to surround yourself with good quality of vibrational, inspirational, spiritual, Holy Ghost music. And I'm not talking about this jungle beat Christian rock and roll. I'm talking about singing to yourself in the Psalms, making melody in your heart, praising it on the 10 strings. Had a brother up in New York, bless his heart. Brother Billy mailed me a 10-string harp. And he taught me some valuable stuff about sounds and vibration. How powerful that it is to the central core of the atomic nuclear soul that we have staged to correct scale to vibration, where we know that a sound coming from a high-pitched tone will shatter a glass. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from hell was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, I told you that music, vibrational music, the central core music, the vibration of the 32, 4H is 32, anything that has an 8-beat overlapping, intersecting harmony with the electrical being of the soul, to ignite it and to vibrate it, because you see, these demons cannot stand music that is in line with truth in a vibrational form. But if you get some of this Black Sabbath, these hairy demons from hell who play this inspired, drug-induced music in your presence, you will go into frenzies. You see these men and women on the concert scenes shaking and violently erupting in contortions and strange twisting and demonic behavior. This is the vibrational tones that are causing the demonic infestation when they open up your psychic being and come in on the chords of bad vibrational music. It's an offbeat. See, 72 beats a minute to the pulse system, 120 to the heart rate. Anything that vibrates that natural state of man in an off-chord key, then the body is, if you will, the electronic, vibrational, electric fence system is violated or lays down or warps, and in enters the demonic demons, and you can take one up on yourself, even in the churches of the music that they play today. It is demonic. A lot of it is beautiful, done properly, but 95% of it is all demonic, inspired by these wizards, these charmers. Oh, a charmer, you didn't never hear. A charmer could be in a three-piece evangelistic business suit, look well, sing well, talk well, play well, and be a charmer of demonic proportions. If you feel like that you've just been to a popcorn fest after coming out of these draining, emotionally charged drainage pits called Baal's Satan altars, where they literally drain the life, the elixir of your vision, when they drain it out of you and you feel like you've been to a popcorn fest instead of eating and drinking the body of the Messiah, which is nothing but good old raw bone truth straight down the pike. Nothing offsetting in vibrational form. You see why that the truth stirs people up? To call them to hurl dust in the air and stone men for preaching the truth as they stoned Paul, Saul in the Hebrew, as they stoned our Messiah in the 10th chapter of St. John, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Boy, that was a vibrational sound. It didn't get over too good. When the Trinity and the Trinity are preaching, there's three. And Yahweh, Shua himself says, I and my Father are the same, identical one. We're all in accord. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Well, you play that music upon their heartstrings. Watch them go into a cultish frenzy of denial and cast you out when you preach the singleness of a Godhead. They don't want the truth. They run from the truth. Now when Saul was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, and ladies and gentlemen, Ramah is in the territory of Samuel. This is birthright territory. But this evil spirit that was upon Saul came from Yahweh himself. He sent that evil spirit to trouble him. But the men around Saul was very wise. They said, there's an antidote. Bring the harp, and someone that is skilled to play upon the harp. And this harp removed the evil demonic spirit that had came into the system, if you will, because, you see, anger will open up your spirit envelope. It's like unzipping. Anger will unzip it. When you get mad and angry, the Bible said anger rests in the bosom of a fool. When you get flushed out and red and aggravated, stressed and mad, you're opening yourself to vibrational sequences of the offbeat Satan and his angels. And they will possess. And I'm telling you, you'll cry uncle before you get rid of them, unless you meet a man of the faith that will cast them out with the truth. When the Bible says in Mark 16:16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to Yahweh's chosen. That's who they were chosen to send to, not to every creature. That is so far from the original text. It is pathetic. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Would he counteract himself? Or was it a fact that the sheep, the lost sheep, the disobedient sheep had been exiled and driven into all parts of the earth and hidden among the thorns? There the rose of Sharon hidden among the thorns of the heathenistic ways because they wanted to be heathen. Yahweh drove them right into the middle of the heathen and said, have your fill. And I won't visit you no more till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Saul had put away all the familiar spirits. Isn't that something? And he himself had one. You see, sometimes when you're guilty, that's when you want to preach the hardest against something. You'll hear these preachers in the pulpit say, you don't need to go down there and have your fortune told. You come up here and the Holy Ghost will tell you. The pay and pray brigade. Man, how they left the fleece. The sheep, as they come to these altars of Baal, where these familiar spirits are. The Bible said when, where there is confusion, there's ever evil work. Should the Bible bring confusion? Well, you say, well, of course not, Pastor Buddy. The Bible should bring peace and safety and a harmonious sound from heaven. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My ideal, exactly. That the word of Yahweh, when preached in truth, becomes a hard saying because it demands an exact obedience to what it's said to do. And then we've got to say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you don't have to do all these things. That was contrary to what the schoolmaster taught us. Ladies and gentlemen, the schoolmaster taught us the divine covenant principles. Yahweh has always been big in the rituals of doing what he said to do, not hearing what he said or sweeping it under the rug of the 25th chapter of the imagination, but prove all things and be instant in spirit and out and reprove and rebuke those who would err from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, from hence turn away. When they lure you out into the bell boxes and teach you that the name of Jesus is the name of the Creator, Savior, and the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, you are listening to a charmer and a wizard and someone that's got a familiar spirit to change the covenant name of the house of Israel, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is in that name. And you say that name is not important? That name hasn't any power? That you don't have to get baptized, get wet? That you had a ring of fluid in your mommy's womb and you were born in water and the spirit of life entered into you and therefore you're born? Ladies and gentlemen, he was standing out in the Jordan. And the Bible said in John chapter 4 verse 1 that he made and baptized. Listen to me now. John was the immerser. John came preaching only one thing. Water baptism for the remission of sins, and Christ came behind him and baptized more people in water than did John. You say, oh, it's just a formality. It's just something that you can do if you want to. Oh, you could be sprinkled and be okay. Can you see Christ out in the river and John, the immerser, the burier? Suffer it to be so, John. For it behooves me to fulfill all that my father gave me instruction to do from the schoolmaster. You say, well, we don't have to keep all those festivals in North Pastor Buddy. That's under the law. Glory to God. Shundai. Oh, I just feel a little tingling every time that I come across somebody that believes that we're to keep the festivals. And now, no, that was under the law. Glory to God, Shundai. Well, when I hear that, I want to vomit in the presence of these demons. You know what they are? They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots, because they are hearers and not doers of the commandments and the rituals. And he said, do it all according to its rituals and do it in remembrance of me. Those that did it in the 18th and the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis did it long before Moses received the commandment in Leviticus chapter 23 and Exodus chapter 12. They were already keeping the days of unleavened bread by revelation of the divine covenant of the Melchizedek order. You say, well, we take communion, Pastor Buddy. We break the bread and we take the grape juice, glory to God. Now, we don't believe in that wine stuff now. Don't get in that wine stuff. Well, if I was to take one drop of that alcohol, glory to God, it'd change me completely. I can't believe the listless faith of some of these people that don't even have enough courage to drink a glass of wine and then they'll go to the doctor's office and load down their monthly supply of dope, and the doctor will say, do you have someone to drive you, because I'm going to give you a shot. And they come out there singing a new song. Oh, happy day. All of my aches and pains just went away. And they load you with Oxycontin, Hydros. You know what the Bible says about such people that would turn to the weak and the beggarly elements? When the Bible says for you to remember him in the Passover, every spring, get the time down. And I've offered to debate all these issues on the table with anybody in the continental U.S. of A. Now, we'll take on a few Brits from Britain. A few of those hard-headed Germans for Germany. We'll take you on. We're not going to cull anybody. We're going to preach the gospel in season and out. We're going to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and authority and doctrine. And approve all things. Let me give you an example. We've built churches all over the world. And yet, the apostolic fathers didn't have churches to worship in. They worshiped from house to house. Christ passed up a 42-year building expansion program of Herod the Edomite Jew and despised the place. Because of what was in it. Full of serpents and wizards and charmers and necromancers. Oh, they'll hug your neck. They'll kiss your cheek. They'll lift your offerings out of your pocketbook. And then they'll fly across the country eating, drinking, and being merry on a Learjet that you just helped provide. When a true prophet can't even as much as hardly get a thank you for a glass of water. And if it ain't given to me in the name of Yahweh, you give it to me in vain anyway, because I won't drink it. When I enter your house and the peace of Yahweh is there, I salute the place. And if it's there, I stay there. And I expect to have a fellowship with like-minded people. And if the Spirit ain't there, you'll see Pastor Buddy grabbing his hat and I'll be walking. Why? Because I know where the Spirit of Yahweh is. There's liberty. There's precious dew from heaven. The anointing is there. Safety. Shalom. Ebbs out of the walls, the foundation, and the vibration of the brother or sister that you're in the presence of. You can feel the connection. And it's a heavenly connection, not a demonic connection. And Saul said to his servant, seek me a woman with a familiar spirit. Here they go. Here they go now. Here, seek me one with a familiar spirit. I gotta go to her, and I gotta require. And the woman said to him, behold, you know this Saul. They said, he's gonna cut off all those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore that thou layest thou a snare for my life that caused me to die? Saul said, you won't die. And she said, well, what do you want? He said, I want to talk to Samuel. She said, well, everybody in Israel knows that Samuel is dead and passed on. He said, that's why that I want to talk to him. I want a word. Seeking the word of a dead man. Did this familiar spirit have the wizardry to summons up the spirit of Saul, deceased? Or Samuel. Saul is fixing to be deceased. Because that's the message that Samuel gave him. Well, I said, why have you disquieted me? Why have you aroused me from my temporary sleep and rest? I just left planet Earth and I need a rest. You have drove me to death, Saul. You have shortened my days to worry about you. And to stand responsible for you. And to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge for you. Because of your disobedience. And Saul said, I want to know what's going to happen. Since you've left, Samuel, there's not a word in any of the prophets. The prophets have ceased in the land. And Samuel said, well, if you need to know what's going to happen, I'm going to tell you. You and your son's going to join me over here tomorrow about the same time. Well, what a message. Woo! What a message for someone to go to the trouble to find out before the fact that they was going to die the next day. What a terrible night of anguish and pain and sobbing that Saul must have gone through, knowing that his end was nigh because of the word of the prophet, long deceased, had been raised and disquieted, called and collected through this familiar spirit. 2 Kings 21:6, and he made his son to pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizardry. He wrought some such wickedness in the sight of Yahweh to provoke Yahweh to anger. What do you think Yahweh is getting today? You think Yahweh's about fed up? I do. You think Yahweh's tired of this? These charmers, these wizards, these familiar spirits that they have provoked as much wickedness today in the earth as there was in Genesis chapter 6 when he destroyed her. The reason that the Father is not coming to pass judgment as quickly as he did, he's got a set time. This is a trial. This is a place for you to obey Yahweh, not to complain to Yahweh, not to say, oh, that was under the law. Don't do that no more, glory to God. And I had a guy that used to tell me that, and then every time he'd say that, I carried a Bible that I purposely carried. Every time I'd teach, when they say, well, I don't believe in that, no more, I just rip it out. Throw it to the floor. Wad it up and throw it to the floor. Folks, if it's all under the law, what are you reading it for? What are you praying for? What are you seeking for? You see, the Bible said, if a man's ways please Yahweh, if a man's ways please Yahweh, then his enemies will be at peace with him. You say, that's what, you ever have that, anybody ever call you up and berate you and take you to task? No, I don't. I have a lot that would like to, but they don't have the intestinal fortitude. They don't have the wisdom and the knowledge. Why? Because I've done my homework on what's right versus what ain't right. What's right and what seems right. I want to preach the gospel. I'm not in this for a patty cake run. I'm not playing mama pag. I'm in this for a battle of my life. And the Bible says if the righteous scarcely be saved, Job said, by the skin of my teeth. You better keep yourself pure. Psalms 106:37, yea, they sacrifice their sons and daughters to devils. And did you know the Bible said they ate the sacrifice of the dead in the same chapter? Ate the sacrifices? Did you know the blood cults of the Illuminati, the enemy that we've surrendered our governments and powers and churches to? Satan has literally now running the planet Earth. The devil himself and his angels are literally running the planet into perilous times. I'm going to repeat that. Satan and his angels are literally running planet Earth into perilous times, when there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was. That day is here. Go howl, you shepherds in vanity. You have robbed in it. Wherein have we robbed him? Very few people know the art of tithing and giving. And we've got these charmers . These wizards, these familiar spirits, these romancers, oh, they'll love you. Oh, they'll put the love bug on you, honey. You bring your fanny and park it in the seat. Keep your ears open and your mouth shut. And remember, when we call you to the treasury box, give generously now. We have another missionary experience in the deep jungles of Africa. Or New Guinea. Or we gotta go to China and save the Chinese. They'll be having you for breakfast before you know it. Cause they do like the fetuses. They literally eat the fetuses out of the wombs of these mothers who have sacrificed their children because it's a dishonor to have a daughter. All Chinese want sons. And they're only allotted so many, so if they have these pregnancies, they abort the fetus and they sell it on the black market for collagen for women's makeup. Oh yes, ladies, that's the lovely stuff that you smear on your cheeks has an ideal elasticity to the product. And who knows how many fetuses are ground up and mixed in with the makeup of Max Factor and whoever else. You say, well, you know they don't put that stuff in there, Pastor Buddy. Well, science will tell you that a fetus is one of the most perfect items of minerals and composites that is used to create a foundational base for makeup. I want to get down to the last scripture here that I'm talking about. It's in the book of Isaiah, by the way. And it is a marvelous scripture. It's in 65. I'm going to turn there. It'll be my last scripture, perhaps, that I can read to you here on WWCR. We're live tonight on the 17th day of the month of October. Praise Yahweh. We're going to read Isaiah 65. And by reading Isaiah 65, we're going to determine something very important. Now listen to me here. 65 and verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that other name is the name of his originality that he gave us. And when people begin to use substitutes, he said, I'm going to slay you with death, with these charmers, with these scene writers, with these familiar spirits, with these great evangelists that can blow on you and blow you down and blow you down with the energy. Oh, how people love to pretend and go along with the sham just so they can get on a TV. Or they can get their message recorded. It's going to be played back. And they watch themselves get up there and lie right through their teeth, trying to make believe that it's real. When everybody that sees it down deep knows it's nothing but a sham. Nobody gets healed. The sick just paddle out in their wheelchairs just like they came in. You say, well, don't you believe in divine healing? Yes, I do. I pray for a blind man that the doctors said he would never see again. I prayed for him and he saw. He sent his seeing eye dog back. Got him a driver's license and bought him a brand new Buick. Yes, I believe in the power of the divine covenant, Yahweh. I believe that there's healing in the land. But you don't have to lie and be a familiar spirit to get it done. All you got to do is preach the truth. I was 30 years in a pretending way, and now I'm 15 years in the way that is right, not the way that seems right. Boy, there's a big difference in it, and the difference is all in the name. I'll slay you with a false name. I'll send you charmers, romancers, familiar spirits, and they'll find out what you want to hear, and I'll let them preach what you want to hear. I'll let you believe a lie and be damned. You'll call me in that day and say, Father, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because you have been charmed and romanced and filled with popcorn, and you have no meat in your house. And the season is far past. The day's at hand. Let them that can eat the meat of the gospel and stand up for it and become a doer of it. You know what the first thing that Noah did in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts when he landed? He didn't go to Burger King. He didn't run down to the bell box and offer up his children and pass them through the fire and get a familiar spirit word. He went and built him an altar. The ancient art of altar building is done gone. It's ceased. Why? Because we have taken up a form and a fashion and built altars erected around the nation to Baal, not to Yahweh. What do you think Yahweh went into the wilderness so often for? You go over there to play Mama Peg or Chinese checkers? You go over there to listen to Black Sabbath? I don't think so. He went over there and got on an altar that he had commanded his ancients to build. He built one like it, and he got on it, and he taught his disciples how to worship on it, how to offer up acceptable sacrifice. He said, I don't believe in offering up a sacrifice anymore, Pastor Buddy. I think you better go to the book of Acts and take another read then, because the apostolic fathers were still doing it. They were still keeping the festivals, Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost. When the fire fell, it was on the day of Pentecost. The Father uses these symbology and metaphorically to press into your mind a reasoning factor, a framework in your mind, because what you see is what you get. And if you don't see it, you don't get it. And if you don't do it, you've never had it. Lukewarm people, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. We got more sacred name people murmuring and complaining and bellyaching and gossiping than we got preaching the gospel and proving it with the word of God, because they won't take the heat. Oh, they can talk the talk. But boy, when the heat time comes and you have to give them the book, they start squirming like hot worms on a rock. Well, the Bible said the gospel shut every mouth. If you ain't got it, don't bring it. If you got it, bring it. And it'll stand. You don't need to prop it up. You don't need 10,000 people to bear witness to it. I don't need a big crowd. I got a few. I don't need them. All I need is Yahweh. And if I preach the truth, a few will come and gather around the table to eat the meat that falls from the master's lips, because I'll assure you that God is still in the prophet business, and he says in the book of Amos, I will not reveal anything to the people unless I reveal it to the prophets. Well, what did the prophets get for their effort? Got the cold shoulder. People would rather go to the charmers. They'd rather run to a bell box. They'd rather run to these little dry hotel services where there's nothing there but last year's bird's nest and men fleecing the flock trying to make a living. And it's right in our own sacred name movement. I hate to say that, but it's the truth anyway. Take them to an old-fashioned altar and they get the chilly willies. You know why? Because they are not rooted and grounded in the revelation of truth. That's why. Truth comes by manifestation of being a doer. Well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. Well, what in the hell do you believe in? Well, I believe in being anointed and all. Oh, really? What kind of oil are you anointing in? Well, olive oil. Where does it say the anointing olive oil? The recipe to how to anoint people with oil is in the Bible. But few people carry it. I carry my oil with me all the time. And it's the exact recipe of Exodus chapter 30. The exact recipe. Well, I got to get out of here. My time is just blown away. So, if you'd like to write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, if you're going to be a doer, give me a call. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight now, you can email buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Now again, my address. Write me for the series that we have just done, Royal Blood. We have an 8-tape package here that we'll send to you in 2 mailings. And you that are on our regular mailing list, you'll be getting the tapes within the next week. I'm a little bit behind, but I'll catch up. The Royal Blood, taught that in 8 parts, is 8 hours of teaching, proving to you that we are descendants with the blood of Yahweh in our veins. No wonder we're sheep. No wonder we love His Word. No wonder we'll drive for miles to hear the gospel or to fellowship and to seek out men of wisdom and stature that we could have fellowship together. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like a copy of tonight's message, along with more that we're doing on demons, then tune in and write, let me know. I'll get it to you. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR Around the World Christian Talk Radio. Praise Yahweh. The Mighty Voice out of Nashville, Tennessee. Yahweh bless you. Lift up rock and fight your finger to words.